Hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, brother. How are you, Scott?
I'm great. How are you, Sheldon?
Awesome, awesome. Thank you.
It's great to be chatting with you on a Saturday. This is an off Saturday for us. We're actually pre-recording the show ahead of time.
This is not live, but pre-recorded.
Warning, this is not live. So those millions of Sheldon fans can't call
and
in.
Scott fans. Sorry, you can't call today. Not this time. Next time. But you can crowd the lines next time.
And blow Sheldon's mind.
Blow my mind once again.
And because for us it's not yet Christmas, so I'll wish you and your family a Merry Christmas.
Yes, yes, and to you and Mary and your family.
Well, thank you. And then for those listening, we hope that you've enjoyed or are enjoying your holidays and had a wonderful time with family, friends, or connecting.
Celebration of love and joy and family, however that might happen for you.
With probably many opportunities to practice forgiveness.
Yes. Forgiveness, love, compassion, healing. Yes. The holiday times always seem to bring up plenty of opportunities to practice.
Right.
For sure.
And of course, the forgiveness that we're talking about is what's taught in A Course in Miracles. So it's not like your traditional, maybe religious Christian version of it, which is you said something mean to me and now I forgive you because I'm a good religious person.
You really are wrong, and I'm better than you, so yeah. I'm going to forgive you.
And I'm going to heaven, and maybe you're going to hell.
Something like that, right?
Something like that, yeah, which is not the Course's version of forgiveness. Course's version is remembering that you created what you're seeing because of the split of the ego from Source, and remembering that you're really back with Source, and that your brother is Source, is Spirit, and offering the Holy Spirit to come in and release any thoughts of separation and healing that.
And that might kind of lead right into the topic, right?
I think it kind of does. It always does, doesn't it?
It does. Nicely done, Scott.
Did nice. No. I.
That just happened.
I always accidentally stumble into things.
Awesome. So what is the topic?
Today, because I think typically, you know, of course, because there's a lot of terminology and discussion around Christ, I think, but specifically, you know, like we were talking before we started, I think we'll talk specifically about the face of Christ, because I think it's a really interesting and important concept, and I think it also helps people understand what leads to, you know, the last step of God, when you talk specifically about the face of Christ. So that's what we'll be focused on. And I guess before we jump into it, we can read a couple quotes from the Course, and then we'll do our typical guided meditation.
And who's going to be doing the guiding this time?
Oh, Sheldon, one day you're just going to love the fact that you get to do guided meditations.
One day.
One day. One day. Hey, it's been a year.
Yeah.
I think it's officially a year since we've started the Of Course Radio broadcast.
That is crazy.
And we'd love to thank Don and Doug at BBS Radio. Those guys are absolutely amazing.
They rock. Thank you so much, guys.
Wonderful to work with.
And it's incredible. It's been a year, dude.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scott, for coming up with this idea and doing 99.9% of the work behind it all and everything. It's been fun.
It is fun. And like we talked about, at least it keeps you and I connected because we get pretty busy. And if we didn't have this touchstone, we would probably kind of be off doing our own thing and not connecting as often. So
true, it does help that, huh?
Yeah, and that's what I love about it. Just
awesome
connecting, awesome. And yeah, and then talking about the Course,
especially since I am not Skyping the group and you don't get to join us that way either.
Right, because you've fallen down on the job and haven't followed through. Okay, I'm just kidding. Another forgiveness opportunity given me, Sheldon. Thank you.
I guess I get to practice that one for myself, right?
Yeah, exactly.
How many levels of guilt do you have over that right now, Sheldon?
Yeah, Sheldon, how many?
Quite a few.
Really? In all honesty, do you?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Really? So that's interesting. I never would have thought that about you. But that's good. The more that you reveal it, and that's another lesson with the Course, the more that you're open and you reveal, you know, whether it's physically like this, like talking out loud, or even just to Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit can help release and heal that. The more open you are about it, and the more you go, yeah, I see that. I see that in me. I see this peace or these thoughts that keep me out of peace.
Yeah. Transparency of everything. The openness. Big key. Honesty. And yeah, then integrity, right, about what you really are feeling.
Yep.
Experiencing.
So why don't you take a moment and release all that guilt, Sheldon?
Thank you.
To the Holy Spirit, so you don't have to hold on to it anymore.
Thanks, brother. You do the same.
I have no guilt.
Or judgment?
I have huge judgment. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, I'm sure there is judgment around certain things, but yeah.
How about your quote?
My quote is from The Clarification of Terms, and it's in the chapter 3, paragraph 4, and it is, "The face of Christ has to be seen before the memory of God can return. The reason is obvious. Seeing the face of Christ involves perception. No one can look on knowledge, but the face of Christ is the great symbol of forgiveness. It is salvation. It is the symbol of the real world. Whoever looks on this no longer sees the world. He is as near to heaven as is possible outside the gate. Yet from this gate, it is no more than just a step inside. It is the final step, and this we leave to God."
Beautiful.
Kind of sums it up.
Yeah.
We'll talk. I'd love to talk a little bit more about that later, what all that meant.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. So let's see. I've got, mine is from chapter 11 in the text, section 8, The Problem and the Answer, and it's page 211 in the Foundation for Inner Peace version. And the second paragraph is what I'll read. It says, "The Bible tells you to become as little children. Little children recognize that they do not understand what they perceive, and so they ask what it means. Do not make the mistake of believing that you understand what you perceive, for its meaning is lost to you. Yet the Holy Spirit has saved its meaning for you, and if you will let Him interpret it, He will restore to you what you have thrown away. Yet while you think you know its meaning, you will see no need to ask it of Him. You do not know the meaning of anything you perceive." That's enough.
Yeah.
Kind of relates, right?
It does. I think, again, there's like some running themes throughout the course, and one of them is a reminder of you don't really know how to get out of this mess, you know?
Yeah.
And so you have to be humble and, one, admit it, and, two, ask for help.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Beautiful. Thank you, Sheldon.
Those two are both pretty cool, and they kind of tie in together, and we can talk about them more after Scott.
Okay, time for a guided meditation. Sheldon, are you ready? Are you buckled in?
I'm buckled in.
Okay.
I am not driving a car at this moment.
That's right. So for those of you that are listening and operating things, we'd recommend you not do the guided meditation until later, which you can download either through bbsradio.com, of course, radio, or they become available on iTunes as free podcast downloads. Okay, so go ahead and get comfortable, either sitting or for some that could be even lying down if you know, you don't fall asleep. And just take a deep breath in and just slowly let it out. Just allow your body to just relax. Notice if you're holding any tension anywhere in your body, and take another deep breath in. And then as you release any tension in your body as well. And if you feel that you're still holding tension, you can already call in the Holy Spirit to help relieve any tensions in your mind. Okay. And now just take a moment and just focus your thoughts, your awareness on your heart center. Just notice how that feels right now. And imagine and call in Holy Spirit. And focus that energy in your heart center and allow the warmth, light, any messages to now emanate from your heart center and out around your body. Just engulfed in pure white light. Just take note of what that presence feels like around you, what it might look like. And also take a moment to either listen or maybe even see or understand any messages Holy Spirit might have for you in this moment before you take a journey. Good. Now the Holy Spirit will guide you up and out of the room that you're in, up and out of the planet, the galaxy, towards the edge of what we would consider to be our universe, towards a brilliant white light. And this white light might even appear to have some sort of a boundary on it, almost even maybe even a thin veil on it, and that veil can pull aside now as you're literally at the face of Christ or the gate of heaven. And this is what you strive to see for yourself and in your brothers and sisters every moment of every day. Because this is the truth of who you are and where you are, and the truth of where your brothers and sisters are and who they are. And this is the gate to heaven. And at this gate, there is an altar. And on this altar, this is where either you or the Holy Spirit can place symbols or thoughts or issues that need to be healed on the altar. You no longer need to carry any more burden. The idea of having to suffer and be crucified is no longer required. You can simply hand over all of your burdens to be healed. And in your mind, do this now. Hand over symbolically. It could be people or relationships. It could be materialistic things that take up a lot of your time and effort and attention away from your home with God. It could be symbols of politics, symbols of the place or places that you work, or corporation, family members, whatever it is that might cause you guilt or fear or judgment, anger, sadness. Just unburden it all and hand over and place on the altar. Good. Now watch as all of these symbols become completely absorbed in the white light, and pretty much just melt away and transform into white light. And allow this ball of white light then on the altar to now come back towards you and just fill you, fill your heart center, fill every ounce of you, all around you. That light will now expand back into the universe, filling it, filling everything in it, planets and galaxies, people, because these are just projections or appearances. Because you are the Son of God, you will one day create the disappearance of the universe. The projection of shadows will one day disappear through your healed mind. This is why you're here. And allow yourself to feel this connection back to Source, to God. Notice how that feels for you, what it looks like, what you might hear, and remember. And know that your only job is to see and feel this with those that appear to be separate and around you when you're back in your body. And that you can return to this place whenever you would like. So with gratitude and thanks, you can now bring your awareness back to your body, back to the room that you appear to be in. And you can move your fingers or toes and just become more and more aware of your surroundings and being back with some awareness in your body and still awareness back to Source. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes and come back.
Whew. There you go.
Hopefully that was an enjoyable journey for you.
That was.
Good.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Sheldon.
Okay. Where are we?
I don't remember. We're going to be talking about the face of Christ.
Do you want to read your quote again?
Sure. Again, this is from the Clarification of Terms, and it's chapter 3, paragraph 4. The face of Christ has to be seen before the memory of God can return. The reason is obvious. Seeing the face of Christ involves perception. No one can look on knowledge, but the face of Christ is the great symbol of forgiveness. It is salvation. It is the symbol of the real world. Whoever looks on this no longer sees the world. He is as near to heaven as is possible outside the gate. Yet from this gate, it is no more than just a step inside. It is the final step, and this we leave to God. So when I read those words, again, I think, you know, the Course uses a lot of metaphor. Of course, in true reality, there is no gate. There really is no separation between heaven. It's all occurring in our mind. But I think, you know, what the Course is saying is that, you know, forgiveness and healing of your mind is a process. And the more that you practice forgiveness, the more you see, you know, essentially the face of Christ, with that, which I think is just a metaphor for that, the place where we're still back with Source in our mind, but because there's some sort of a veil, it's just kind of like the edge of that. And that's why you could consider it a gate. Which is why I think it's important to realize, you know, that final step that God takes, which is really God. God is just perfect love. And then God recognizes itself, and itself is perfect love. So when your mind is healed, that's when God will finally recognize, and you'll, in your mind, return back home. That's what I think is sort of like the process or the metaphysics behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you think, Sheldon?
Well, I was trying to find your paragraph. I just found it. I think that the face of Christ, yeah, it's like metaphor, right?
Yeah.
So it's not a real necessarily image. It might be a light.
Mm-hmm.
You might see a light within. I would, yeah, that process of releasing judgment goes as you go through that process, you start to see the innocence. The innocence and the purity and the wholeness and the connection with everybody, right? And I think that that's the face of Christ. I could see you when you get out of the judgment and your judgment mind, and then you just see the innocence of somebody. It's basically like when I think, at least that's part of the process for me, I feel like, is like you're seeing somebody behave in a way that might be, you know, not nice or whatever, right? And you're just recognizing that that's an act from a place of fear and that that person's in fear. And so you're seeing that behind that fear is an innocence. It's like a child that, you know, just needs more love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that process for me helps soften the response, right? Then then you can, when you start to really feel that and know that and connect to that, then your response is naturally compassionate, right? And that to me has something to do with the face of Christ. It's like you're seeing the innocence behind all of that, and you're seeing the fear behind the anger, the angry attack or whatever it might be, or the judgment that that person might have. And when you start to really recognize that that's all that is, you are connecting to the purity and the innocence behind all of that. And that's the face of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So the issue becomes, the challenge becomes, when the action on the outside is so extreme that it seems to bury that face, that innocence, right? Because then we respond into judgment, especially in the world today when you see horrific acts. It's tricky and hard not to swing right into judgment and condemnation, right?
Yep.
How could they possibly do that kind of thing? That's, you know, that whole Mother Teresa saying, I see Jesus in all of his hideous disguises. I think she said something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
She was caring for the children. She said, I see the face of Jesus in his hideous disguises, because, you know, you're seeing all these horrific scenarios and scenes and circumstances, and your mind could go into judgment of how could a society allow these kids to be like this? How could this? But all she saw was purity and innocence and light behind all of that. And so that's what healed so much of that, and that's what brought in and infused so much love, and that's why so many people followed her, and that's why there's so much good that came of that. But she's holding the light and seeing the light and seeing the innocence, right? Rather than getting into angry judgment and condemnation of how the world could allow such a thing to happen or whatever, she just saw the light, saw the innocence, saw the face, and did her thing. And that's where the healing happened.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's why the process is simple. It's what you hold in your mind is what you're going to experience. And if you're holding in your mind fear, condemnation, condemnation, guilt, then of course some of it's happening at a subconscious level. So it'll come out in ways that you don't expect, or ways that maybe you're not aware at first. But, you know, part of it is being vigilant in your mind. And but part of that vigilance is also holding that. And I think even the Course says it's fiction, because it's even forgiveness is a tool that's not even needed. But you're sort of tricking your mind by going, well, my eyes are seeing, you know, someone that might be angry or mad at me, or, you know, destitute or whatever the things that come up for you that knock you out of peace. And so what you're doing is training your mind to remember, oh, that's not really an angry person, or that's not really my boss being mean to me. That's Christ. That is Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, the Son of God.
Yeah, and it's you quiet. I always, to me, it's kind of like a weird valve, the mind and the heart. Mm-hmm. It's like a one-way valve. That whole, you know, you can't serve two masters at the same time, right? You can't serve the master of judgment and condemnation in the egoic mind and be loving and compassionate and unconditionally at the same time. It doesn't work. So as you're releasing your attachment to those judgments through the process, forgiveness, you know, release, meditation, quieting and accessing the quieter spot in the mind, the heart naturally opens up. It's kind of like a, to me, I look at it like a valve, you know, you can't have them both open at the same time. It doesn't work very well. Mm-hmm. But as the mind's judgment, sort of as you release your attachment to that, the whole thing settles down and then the heart naturally opens. That's as that heart space opens and you stay open, then you feel the connection, and that's when the compassion rises naturally.
Yeah, I would completely agree and resonate with that. And that's why I think later in the clarification of terms, you know, it basically says the purpose of the face of Christ is that it's just God's constant will being extended out. And that it's sort of, again, it's like a metaphor to me. I guess that's why I kind of like the projection, the movie projector concept or metaphor, because, you know, we're kind of living in this movie, in a screen, right? And it's being projected through the mind, which is the film strip, which has, you know, all the shades and different levels of separation and darkness to project out these images and, of course, the sounds and things like that. But what we're trying to do is in every moment that we're out of peace or we're judging or we're seeing bodies, is to metaphorically turn around and look back into the light, back to our source, mm-hmm. and go, oh, right, that's where we reside. That's where my brothers and sisters reside and are. And that takes training, because we're so
caught in images.
Caught
in the imagery of the film.
Yeah. And quite honestly, some of the stories are really interesting, right? And you're like, oh, yeah. Wow, yeah, I really want to be in this one. Mm-hmm. But you know, the whole point of forgiveness is you can still have the happy dream. You could still have your life and live in it. But the more that you practice forgiveness, you know, you're going to be healing your mind. So that as you're living in the story, you're connecting more and more back to source, and then eventually to a point where God will take the final step and you'll have full memory and experience in heaven.
And yeah, anchoring, you know, when you look at it from the whole light perspective, you're anchoring light. So you're releasing and removing all the blocks to the presence of love, right? Which is what the Course talks about. And as you're releasing those blocks, love is light. And so there's more light that's radiant. So you become a pillar of light, a source of light, a radiant, you know, you're the divine spark that's within all of us. Mm-hmm. You know, as you heal and release, it becomes just brighter.
Yeah.
And that, in turn, awakens the people around you, right? Because your light will activate their light and help them to remember. And that's the echo. The Course talks about the echoes, you know, and it's always about your ability to stay in that light, to stay in that place of love and, or, you know, of unconditional love, compassion, forgiveness, anchored in, and then your radiance happens, and that triggers the light within, that's already there within everybody, and helps them awaken. So it just, boom, it's like a nuclear explosion of love.
I like that. Yeah. And I think that's really cool, because that's sort of like why I like Aikido. Because, you know, you're taking concepts that would normally induce fear, like nuclear explosion, and you can actually forgive that concept, or
it's a blast wave of love.
Use it in a way where you're connecting back to source, because again, you know, even if there is a nuclear war, again, the whole point is you're meant to forgive it. Mm-hmm. And you know, whether it's images like that or, you know, the course is just very adamant about you're practicing forgiveness, especially with your brothers and sisters, because it's so easy to place a shadow between you and your brother and obscure the face of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why forgiveness is such a powerful tool, because you're healing your mind of placing that shadow between you, or healing the mind of even wanting to destroy each other through nuclear holocaust. As more and more people practice forgiveness and heal their mind, the less there'll be a need for that type of a situation to arise.
Mm-hmm.
Which, this is kind of a bunny trail, but reminds me of, you know, I think it was in The Disappearance of the Universe and maybe even the follow-on book or books where the Ascended Masters, Art and Persa, talk about, well, you know, in your future timeline, there's probably going to be nuclear terrorism, right? Mm-hmm. So opportunities there. But I think they also say the more that you, me, and others that are listening and practicing a course heal our minds, you know, kind of the 100th monkey thing, we potentially could go on an alternate timeline,
mm-hmm.
metaphysically, which mm-hmm. I find fascinating.
There, there's a woman who talks about the earth changes. What is her name? She's got a bunch of books out, and she has published maps of what the United States and the world is supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm.
After all these, you know, cataclysmic events that could happen potentially.
Yeah.
And she talks about it. She's like, if the prophet's job is done well, then the prophecy doesn't come true.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's kind of like saying, hey, these are potentials, but if we can heal and release, we all come together, they don't have to happen.
Yeah. Because
the timeline, you know, and that gets into all kinds of interesting multi-dimensional time frame, timeline, you know, stuff, but all happening in one present moment, right?
Yeah.
But that it's always within the power of our heart to release love.
Yep.
That's what it always comes back to. And regardless, even if those things do, and some kind of crazy things do end up happening, it's always within your ability to see that from a place of absolute love and unconditional love, and to hold that space. And that the more extreme the scenarios might get, the more, you know, the more that we need to hold that. All of us need to hold that as well as we can.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe I'll get a little bit on a soapbox here, but you know, I remember back when I was doing some channeling and kind of interacting with people that were also channeling or kind of doing some of those predictive, you know, especially before 2012, there's just so many messages out there about how we're going to go through some pretty tough times physically on the earth and all these earthquakes and volcanoes, blah, blah, blah. And I think some people feel that they're justified with tactics, even though, you know, maybe they're not, they know that maybe some of the messages aren't exactly 100% on, but still using like a fear tactic to try to motivate people into like action, which to me is, I find funny when people say they're new agey and then they still use like fear tactics to motivate mm-hmm. people. Cause to me, that's really in alignment of the old patriarchy, the old religion mentality.
How about love tactics?
How about love tactics? Yeah. How about just,
yeah, let's use seeing, love tactics.
Yeah. Seeing more peace and seeing
and loving
action.
More,
yeah.
Loving more deeply,
exactly.
Loving ever more unconditionally.
Exactly. And I think, you know, it's interesting, you know, I try not to jump on social media all the time, but, you know, all the ISIS and Muslim stuff that's coming up, and of course, same-sex marriage and racism is just rampant with a lot of hate stuff and fear, especially around guns and terrorism. And it's like for true, you know, for course students, what a great opportunity to, one, be forgiving, but also I think, you know, as you're guided to be a leader, demonstrator of, hey, there's other ways to see all this stuff.
Yeah, and that's that practice in what we were talking about, seeing the face of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you yeah. see that in those, you know, people that are pushing that agenda, the people that are practicing that agenda or that belief system, and how do you look at them?
People
have alternate beliefs, and do you judge them for having those alternate beliefs? And then, you know what I mean? And there's all kinds of layers to that whole process when you look at that, right? Because, you could say, okay, you could judge the terrorist, and then you could judge the person who wants to attack the terrorist, and you could judge that. You know what I mean? There's all kinds of different ways in which fear can creep in.
Exactly. The ego is playing its war game. And there's all these chess pieces on the board. So you've got, in theory, these terrorists that are, you know, explosives and guns. Then you've got, you step back in time to, maybe the U.S. government trained a lot of these people. Mm-hmm. Then you've got the politicians, or some people would say the powers that be, that are working behind the scenes, that are always creating these ISIS-type events or people or situations to keep us in fear, and
dark forces,
right? And it's just like, well, it's this endless game. And as a course student, I think, you know, you're just meant to forgive all aspects of that game, because in reality, it's made up. Like, your mind at the big level separated and created all these things, and it's playing all these war simulations, trying to figure out how to stay hidden from God, because it's guilty and ashamed. But two, I think it is, the mind is still ultimately running scenarios to go, does it even make sense to create apart from God? And that was one thing, and maybe I've said this before, Sheldon, but like when I was channeling, that was like one of the big messages that I was getting, is the mind is kind of running this, like the movie War Games, these simulations, and eventually the mind will shut down because it'll realize it's pretty much pointless to create apart from God. And then that's sort of like the metaphor of really like the Gary Renard books, The Disappearance of the Universe. The mind just is finally done.
And it's the, that projector image, right? The mind's creating all these scenarios. Mm-hmm. It's the attachment to the scenarios that energizes those scenarios and energizes the mind to continue to keep making those scenarios, right? Like it becomes a cycle. It's like you're infusing energy into those scenarios by either attacking or defending or, you know what I mean? Getting caught into those things. Mm-hmm. That actually perpetuates the mind to continue to do that. So you're in a cycle of manifestation, of perpetuation, of all of that. So the releasing of that, the judgment of that, is releasing an energy from it. So then when you're releasing nothing but, when you're sending nothing but love and compassion, that's what's anchoring into the heart, that's what's shifting, and that's when the mind, like you were saying, eventually stops the need to perpetuate this cycle of of crazy stuff that's coming up, right? Because mm-hmm. it's healed. It's all healed. But there's a I like to look that whole the bathtub water thing. That works well for me, right? You know, you fill the bathtub with water, you don't have to do anything to have the water calm down. You just have to watch it. Mm. You know? But if you tried to smooth the water with your hands actively, you know, you would just create more waves. And that's what we try to do, is we try to pat down everything. So you're sitting there patting all the waves on the bathtub, and you're constantly making more waves, and then you're patting them down and trying to smooth them out with your hands, and you're just going crazy.
Right.
If you just sat there and did nothing and watched it for a couple of minutes, in 10 minutes, it would be perfectly still.
Yeah.
And that's like the mind train. So, and that's like, I think that rushing about trying to fix things so energetically is like trying to smooth the waves.
Right. I think that's a really good point, because I think there is confusion around what it means to be a good spiritual person and what the Course is saying you're required to do. And here's an example.
Doesn't it say I need do nothing?
Yeah, exactly, right?
Literally, or be, literally.
Be passerby is like, I think in the like the Book of Thomas stuff, right? Like, think about this. This will challenge people, and I'm going to kind of explore here, and I'm not sure what I'm going to say, but like as an example, like there's a lot of society rules, and I'm sure it varies in different countries. Like yesterday, you know, we're standing around waiting to get inside of a concert venue, and there's a homeless person, and they're being kind of annoying to people, I could tell, just the way that they were approaching and being like, give me, you know, like this person was clearly probably mentally handicapped as well. I just kept saying, give me, give me, give me. And people were just kind of brushing them off. And some people would give them money. And, you know, I think I did as well. But you don't have to, right? The way the course, this is going to sound weird, I guess. Like Mother Teresa, she was so kind and had love in her heart. She felt the need to help poor people, right? In theory, the course is kind of saying, you know, you don't have to do any of that because you're doing all the work in your mind. I don't know. It sounds weird to say it because I think we're all trained. I know I've been trained to be kind, and that's what I feel like I should do anyway. So I'd say, you know, go with guidance, go with what you feel is best to do. Like if you feel the need to go to a third world country and you know, improve their water or medical condition, that's amazing. I would, you know, it's like, go do that. But at the same time that you're doing that, you're, you know, the course is just saying you're practicing forgiveness in your mind. This is a course in mind training.
Right. Totally. Go ahead.
Yeah. Just last point. And I would think, at least how I feel, the more I've practiced a course, you know, maybe as I walk by a homeless person, I'm not always giving money, but at least what I feel like as I've been healing my mind, I at least look them in the eye, at least say something to them, you know, and instead of ignore. And you know, I'm not saying like I'm a master or anything. I'm just saying I've noticed changes in how I react to even like a situation like that.
Right.
I don't know if I made a point there.
Go ahead. Yeah, it's not what you do; it's where you do it from.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's not the action. When you, and I think the course even says that you don't have to shift. It doesn't eliminate your special function, like what you feel like doing in the world.
Right.
You know, that comes from specialness versus your holy relationship, right? So you establish the holy relationship through surrender, forgiveness to the Holy Spirit, right? And if you feel, and then how that desire to extend that love into this dimension through this body will be how you choose to do it. Mother Teresa felt to do it through, you know, feeding children and doing that.
Right.
You may choose to do it through your corporate work, and just being loving and compassionate boss exactly where you are.
Yep.
And
or helping a family member. You know, helping a family member. I think there's rules that it's like if you're going to really be a spiritual, enlightened person, you've got to help millions and thousands of people and do it in certain ways, and that's not what the course is saying.
Yeah, there was that line in The Way of Mastery that just literally made me cry when I heard it. Not that that's a hard thing to do, but you know, Jeshua is always saying stuff that I'm crying about, but he was like, you know, that whole, you know, if your calling is to be the face of Christ or be the light of Christ in the sweeping of the streets, then be the light of Christ in the sweeping of the streets. Like you can sweep the streets and be the light of Christ, the presence, the fully embodied presence of the light of Christ in the sweeping of the streets. And I was just like, ugh, and it just, you know, because it does not matter, you know, it does not matter. What matters is the full, unconditional, unblocked, you know, embodiment of that light.
Yep.
Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, that becomes holy at that moment. Right. And that ground becomes sacred or whatever, however you want to describe that, you know, it doesn't even matter. It's the releasing of all the blocks to that. And however you choose to do it, you want to give workshops and travel around, fine, you know, but is that any more or less, you know, divinely inspired than just working in a job or sweeping the streets or whatever it is? It doesn't matter.
Yep. Or just simply holding love in your heart and your mind.
Yep. For the person as you pass them by.
Yep.
You know?
That's why I think, you know, one of the important pieces of practicing forgiveness is developing a relationship with Holy Spirit, because I think the more one that you're releasing and letting go, you could also be open to receiving, you know, messages or guidance from that side, so that, you know, whatever physical actions you are taking is more in alignment with the plan of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which would follow, ultimately, I think, follows the desire in your heart as to how you wish, how you feel called.
Right.
And that's a trick, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that for me is part of where it's a trick for me right now. That's probably where, you know, it's like, what is the heart's desire to extend love?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's why I think, you know, even at a, whether it's conscious or subconscious level, I think people can tell the difference when someone's performing an action and it's more guided from their heart versus maybe from the ego. Just a quick example. I remember when I first came back to Corporation, you know, I was a life coach. I met a gal inside that was like, oh, wow, she's also a life coach. Wow, we've got a lot in common. We started talking. And then she told me of a recent interaction she had with a potential client. And she was more of like a lifestyle coach and someone that, you know, basically got you to like dress better and dress for success, blah, 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 things like that. And she was upset because she really thought this guy was going to start paying her and be a client. And she's like, I don't understand. You know, I was, you know, doing my spiel, which always works. And I could tell he was a loser and, you know, he dressed like crap. I was like, whoa, 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 hold on. Like, were you saying that? She's like, oh no, I was thinking that, but that's why he's a perfect client. I'm like, well, you know, we're all connected at the mind level. I'm sure he was picking up on that, that you were judging him pretty harshly. And she just looked at me like it was such a foreign concept.
Uh-huh.
And I think people can pick up on it, you know, whether it's someone handing out food in a homeless shelter or, you know, preaching religion. If it's coming from ego and more judgment, I think people feel that and, you know, starting to not want that anymore.
Right. Right. Just not feeling aligned that that would be a safe space to explore their vulnerabilities and, you know, have them loved and accepted, right?
Because yeah.
You could say, okay, I don't know how to dress and feel, you know, a sense of vulnerability and fear around that. And having somebody judge and condemn you, right, in their mind is not going to be necessarily the healthiest or the most loving and compassionate way for you to heal that process, right? Mm-hmm. Not that, you know, you might not want to change it, right? But that might not be the vehicle for you. So, interesting. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, how's she doing?
I have no idea. Yeah. It was someone that I had talked to at the beginning of coming back in corporation, uh-huh. Which was
a while ago, right?
Already a while ago, yeah, probably 8 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, wow, wow. Time flies.
It does, doesn't it?
It's kind of wild. Kind of wild.
It is wild. That's why plenty of opportunities to practice forgiveness and practice seeing the face of Christ in your brothers and sisters, especially inside the walls of a day job or a corporation, a body repair shop, or a large design and manufacturing company. It's all the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting thing how, like, I had a customer where he just wasn't happy with his car and got pretty irate to where he started yelling at me.
Wow.
And he was frustrated, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was a very interesting thing because before I would have really reacted with defensiveness and argumentation and, you know, we had used aftermarket parts, but we had to because his insurance company told, you know, made us. And, you know, and there were some very, the issues were super subtle. Like 90% of the world would never have even seen it. They were very, very, very subtle. So we went ahead and went with it. It wasn't a particularly high-end car. So, you know, anyway, there's all these reasons why we just said, okay, it's okay. And We spent a lot of time making some adjustments, trying to make it look as good as we could. And it looked, by all our standards, my technician was happy with how it came out. We were like, wow, he did a great job. You know, it all, we felt good about it. And then this guy was like super pissed. Super pissed, like started yelling at me. And it was an interesting thing, because before, like I said, I really would have, it would have triggered me. I would have reacted. And it didn't in this particular case. And I think that that whole thing about just seeing, like, the face of Christ, we're seeing the person is, you know, coming from fear. They're going to get ripped off or whatever, right? They, you know, you were treating them somehow disrespectfully, and you know what I mean, or dismissing their needs or whatever it was. And I remember at one point I was just like, I said something like, believe me, the last thing that my goal here as a manager of this shop is to upset you the way you're upset right now. Can you imagine? That's the last thing I want to do to you, is to cause stress in your day like this. You know, believe me, I do not want that.
Right.
And I feel really, and I'm sorry that you're experiencing that right now. Like, I don't want that for you. And it totally like diffused him.
Yeah.
Like, he just was like, you know, and then he started apologizing. I said, I don't want you to apologize, because I understand your frustration. And I totally respect that. I understand it. You know, there's some process I have to go through now to undo some of this stuff. I want you to know, we didn't do this intentionally, but these, you know, we have some constraints with the insurance companies we're dealing with, and we have a process we have to go to address this. So there are some steps I have to take, and it can take a little bit of time. So I go through the whole thing. And by the time we're done, he's like, he literally says to me, I feel like I have a new friend.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Because I feel like you're my friend. And I said, I feel like I am your friend, you know, like, and I'm telling you, during the process of getting his car fixed, we had to come back like 5 times. It was pretty bad.
Wow.
But the whole time he was super gracious and super gentle and super, you know, good to see you. How are you? You know, I mean, it was one of those things where it started really, really bad, and it ended up really, really nice. Even though if you wanted to judge it on this plane kind of dimension, did he have to come back a bunch of times? Yeah, it didn't get fixed right away. It wasn't like, oh yeah, and then the problem went away. The problem stayed for forever. I mean, that guy had to keep coming back. But every time it was just like, hey, it's really good to see you. How are you? You know, is everything okay? You know, I'm really sorry I didn't come back. And he was super gentle the whole way through.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was an interesting kind of thing.
It is. And that's why I love you, man. I think you're a beautiful example, teacher of God, right? And how you can really be what I think it equates to is really success on the business end. I mean, you're creating these amazing relationships with customers that are going to be really happy and come back, and you're practicing the course. Mm-hmm. You know, that's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
And yeah, it's the practicing of it, right? And then it reflects outwardly. Right? Because that's how it works, right? It's always about the internal work. And had, you know, you look at, well, sometimes you say, hey, you know, I don't feel good enough. So then you want to defend, and hey, my guys did a lot of work, or, you know, blah, 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 your insurance company sucks, or, you know, you picked them. And you know what I mean? There's all these things that in the past I probably would have gone through.
Yeah.
And ultimately we're all one, and we're all brothers and sisters, and we're all connected. And, you know, the heart, when your heart opens like that, it's like you feel compassion for that guy. You know, it's like, he didn't trigger me at all. I said, I'm really sorry. I don't want you feeling like that.
That's what most customers want. They want you to first relate to them and go, I hear you. Not try to blow them off or get defensive, which is what the natural reaction is in a lot of people that are siding with their ego, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why, you know, on my work side, you know, like recent things, I'm not a fan of like these processes that I have to go through to get certain things done. And, you know, what I've learned is to, you know, not get so judgmental about it. Like, I can still follow our process, but as I practice forgiveness, you know, I'm seeing these alternate ways opening because I'm letting go more. Mm-hmm. And like, even recently, like, I was trying to get some work done, you know, it still took an extra day or two than normal, but it probably would have taken even longer if I was still frustrated like I would have been in the past, or get, you know, upset and angry, you know, like this. And what happened was, you know, I was just waiting for this work to get done, and this guy's like, oh yeah, I know, I told you yesterday, I'm so sorry. He kept apologizing, and in my mind, I mean, I'm forgiving and seeing him as spirit, and asking the Holy Spirit to release it. And then he's just like, you know, because you're always so cool, I'm going to make sure we work this in, even though we've got other stuff to do. And I was like, oh, you don't have to, you know, this, I know this will work out. And it's like, no, I love working with you, and I love, you know, how you blah, blah, blah. Ultimately, I think he was, you know, saying, ultimately recognizing there was some change, right? Or at least some difference in how I was approaching things versus other people. Uh-huh. The way I looked at it was, hey, this forgiveness stuff is kind of working, you know?
Yeah.
I am experiencing more peace, and hey, it's kind of cool that these results happen too, you know?
Yeah. It's like your peace on your inside and your heart is reflected outwardly.
Mm-hmm. So
they say that the world is a mirror for your state of mind and right, and your consciousness, right? So the things that are triggering you are there for your own forgiveness, your own work, your own healing.
Yeah.
And as you do the healing, then you don't need to see them anymore. So it's an interesting thing. It's like the reverse. Like you go inside, you release everything on the inside, and then it doesn't show up on the outside.
Exactly.
Like, no, I want to help you. Like, oh, okay. You don't need to. You can, I'll be back last in line, you know? Whereas before you might have been mad about being last in line. Hey, I'm not right. expected. I want to be first, blah, blah, blah. Now you're no. It's time. Totally okay with being last in line. No. You're not going to be last in line. They push you to the front. And you're like, okay.
All right. Yeah, what it feels like is the rest of the world is sort of operating under the rules of being in a hurricane. But what it feels like to me a lot of the time is it's just constantly being in the eye.
Yeah. Right? It's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Not all the time. I definitely get caught up. I get hooked in. I get spun around, right? But not as often.
Right.
Yeah.
That is what it is like. It's like being in the eye.
Yep. Oh, hey, by the way, I think our hour is pretty much up. Great talking with you. And I wanted to make sure there was time. Is there anything going on at AUM that you wanted to mention?
We are going to have a show in February at our center. So hopefully people can check that out. We are having, we're having a thing called Transcendent Dance. Hmm. And that is going to be in January. So if you check out our website for when that will be, I think it's... on a Saturday, oh my gosh, third Saturday in January, something like that.
Okay.
But go to our website, artsunitymovement.org. Actually, we're going to redo our website, and hopefully it'll be, it's right now it's artsunitymovement.com, and it might start getting forwarded to aum-foundation.org, hopefully soon.
Okay.
So we are making some changes there. Lots going on. But I'm too disorganized to share it with you right now.
All right. Well, next time, and I'll just share real quickly, my book, Forgiveness, Inc.
Yes.
Has been released, and it's now on Amazon as both a paperback and Kindle ebook version. And you can check out more information about the book at forgivenessinc.com.
And Jacqueline has been enjoying reading it. She just got it. And I have not had a chance to read. I read a good chunk of it actually when you sent it to me initially for review and stuff like that. So, we've got it. She's got it sitting on her nightstand right now. It's beautiful. It's awesome. Great cover. It looks great. Congratulations on that, brother.
Well, thank you very much. And on that note, I know we're crunched for time, so we're going to let everybody go. And hope you had a Merry Christmas and enjoy the new year. We'll talk to you in 2016.
All right.
Love you, bro.
Love you. Take care.
All right.
Bye.